You're listening to the Therapist Mom Podcast, where private practice and motherhood collide. I'm your host, Ashley Kamajiz, and here's the deal. I'm not here to give you fluff or hustle culture advice. I'm here to give you strategy to build a private practice on your terms, while naming the hard stuff about motherhood and the broken systems we're stuck navigating. If you're ready for honest, practical, and unapologetic conversations, you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. Hey, listeners, I'm so excited actually about today's episode, because today we're going to be talking about a topic that is one I am really passionate about. And it may not seem like you're going to listen to this and be like, really, Ashley? But I'm passionate about it because it's a question I get a lot when people are feeling stuck or worried about their practice not growing fast enough or not getting enough referrals or enough clients. And, you know, it may be that like they are getting referrals, but they're inconsistent, or they are seeing other people doing something and feel this pressure like, well, maybe I need to do this as well. And so we're going to be looking today about adding another state license. Sometimes this could feel like, well, this is a logical next step, or like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. It's the responsible thing. This episode, I'm not going to tell you to not do it. We're going to be looking though at how do we kind of slow down the decision to do it? And what are the things to really consider from like a more strategic place in making this choice, rather than being a place of like reaction to kind of fear or scarcity or kind of spiraling out that I need to do more because I'm not getting enough clients. Before we dive into like the real things to consider, I want to kind of go back to basics in case you're listening and you don't know. And honestly, like those in practice for years, I see that people still get kind of tripped up by this. In order to work with somebody online, you must be licensed where you are currently living and also licensed where your client is during the session. So if I live in Virginia and I am seeing somebody in Florida, I need to be licensed in Virginia and I also need to be licensed in Florida. And that is generally the experience. That's generally the rule. There may be some states that there's an exception, but you definitely need to be licensed where the client is, and you should be licensed also where you are. If that's not the case, check with your own board, but that's the general rule. And during COVID, a lot of flexibility existed where they were like waiving that you could see clients in other states because, like, you know, when, you know, college students had to go home from the semester because things were shut down, like, could they still see their therapist and stuff? So there was a lot of flexibility during COVID. Most of that is now gone. And so rules have changed quickly. They keep changing. They keep being adjusted. So it's important to know where you live, where the client lives, like what are the rules and regulations? Because as you add additional licenses, that means that you are just working with another board, another set of rules that you have to stay current on and up to date on and be aware of. So again, doesn't mean that you shouldn't go get another license, but you need to know what is expected of you by that board. Now, if you are listening and be like, Ashley, I thought you are licensed in multiple states, right? Yes, I am. I am currently licensed in, I believe, 5 states: Louisiana, Florida, Hawaii, Colorado, and Virginia. And I don't recommend it. So for me, the only reason why I hold multiple licenses is because my husband's in the military and every 3 to 4 years we've had to move. So because we've had to move, I've had to get licensed in every state that we have moved to. So me adding additional licenses has been connected to because I've relocated, not because I've been operating from a place of I need to expand my practice and like, let's just expand into this other state. The only exception to that is Colorado. Colorado is not a place that I have ever lived outside of like summers where I was working for an organization there back in college. But I did get a Colorado license because I had a lot of clients who were living in another state that were military associated and that their families were moving to Colorado because of military moves. And in order to continue to see them, I would have had to be licensed there. I did my research. I looked to see like would it make sense financially to add this license for this state. And as I did my research and looked and saw that like there was a large military population there, it's a place that a lot of times states that I'm currently licensed in will get relocated to. It kind of made sense, and the money, the financial piece of it made sense as well. The cost to get that license, to maintain that license, was minimal compared to what I would be able to make continuing to see these clients. So for me, it was about like the continuity of care and like aligning with the clients and the population that I already was serving. I did not add these states to kind of expand my reach, but I added, the single one simply to have that continuity of like my care and responsibility to my clients. I could have said, I'm not going to get licensed there and I will help transfer you on to other state, somebody else in that state. That has happened, right? Like I have had other clients move to other states with the military, and it for me at this point, it does not automatically make sense for me to just look to get licensed there now. So again, yes, I hold multiple licenses, which is why I think I can speak to this because I understand it from what it looks like on the other side of having to maintain these licenses. I think it's important if you are thinking about getting another license. If you are operating simply from the place of, well, this is how I'm going to fill my practice. If your practice is not filling in one state, adding an additional license is not going to fix that. What that means is we have a marketing strategy problem. You're never really marketing to an entire state. And so if that's how you have been approaching it in the state you're currently licensed in, we need to look at that and do something different. We need to look at, is there a clear niche? Are we finding ways to create local visibility, even if we don't live in that locality? If we are living in one part of Virginia and we're seeing clients, or we want to be seeing clients in another area because that is where our ideal client lives, that is where our ideal client who could afford our fee resides. We need to be looking at how are we creating visibility in those areas before just adding a license for somewhere else. We also need to be looking at the referral relationships in the communities that we are trying to gain clients in, regardless of where they are in the state. Adding a license in another state does not replace the need to have those things taken care of and addressed in your current state. You're going to have to do the exact same thing somewhere else. Being able to have that clear, defined niche of who you work with, your ideal client, having that local visibility, and creating those referral relationships. Now, I did an episode on this several years ago, and one of the biggest things that has changed since then is we are seeing more and more of what are called like compacts. So, if you're in the counseling world, you probably have heard of like CIPAT or the Counseling Compact. And what these are is the different counseling bodies in all this, 50 states are working together potentially to say, am I going to sign on as part of this compact? Meaning that if you hold a license in one state, you can then see clients in these other states that are part of this compact without having to get licensed there. Like I said, there is the CIPAT, the Counseling Compact is in the works, the Social Work Compact is actively in progress. I think by the end of this year, 2026, it is supposed to be like more fully enacted. And so, what does that mean? The system is changing, right? So, where just even a year ago, you may have been required to hold a completely separate license in another state, in a few months from now, you may be able to see them in that state with the license you currently hold. Now, this could be a whole episode in of itself about these compacts, but that just know that there will still be some like the hoops and things that you will have to jump through to be able to be part of that compact. But the requirements to get a whole other license to be, responsible to this whole other licensing board may not be the case very soon. So if you're thinking about adding an additional license just to have another state, it may make sense to pause on that, right? Like to hold off on adding something else and looking at this from like a strategic decision. Because if you're going to get licensed somewhere else, you're going to have to pay the fees. You're going to have to be responsible for some additional things. So thinking about it from that strategic place of do I need to do this now? Or would it make more sense to just hold off? And yes, maybe I have a client moving there and maybe I need to just help them find a new provider in that state now. And that I can always let them know I can reach back out to them in the future if I do end up getting part of that compact or licensed in that other state. We've all been told we need to network in our private practice, but no one actually tells us how to do it or what to say. Enter Comprehensive Connecting, effective scripts that expand your networking community and actually fill your online practice. This free guide will give you effective scripts to connect with fellow clinicians, medical professionals, and community stakeholders to build strong networking relationships that will help fill your practice. In this guide, you will get tips and tricks for building relationships that will lead to referrals in your practice, real-life examples of messages used to connect with referral sources, and customizable plug-and-send scripts for your specific practice needs. So download your free scripts guide today by going to bit.ly/compconnecting. Now, one of the other options that does exist, if you are saying like, but I really am interested in adding this other state because that is where like my ideal population resides, or I know people who, for instance, were not licensed in Florida, but were looking at getting what is called like a telehealth registered agent kind of status in that state because they wanted to provide services to the LGBTQ plus and trans population in that state because providers' hands were kind of getting restricted with being able to do that care. And so they got this additional registration to be able to provide care in that state. So what does that mean? So being what is called, like, typically it's like a registered agent means that you are allowed to practice telehealth in that state. So for example, Delaware is a state that has this. I believe South Carolina is as well. And what that means is that as a provider that holds a license, say in Virginia, I could apply to be a telehealth registered provider in Florida. And I don't actually hold a license in that state, but the regulatory body, the licensing board say, we recognize you, that you are fully licensed, that you do have the credentials, you can see people here, but you don't need to have a whole license here. That usually means you cannot take insurance from that state. Usually you have to have like a whole license, but that is a question for the insurance companies on that. One of the big things with this is that like it does lower the cost. That's usually not nearly as expensive as like applying to get a whole license for that state. It takes less time. There is less admin work. You may not even necessarily be like beholden to like the CEUs for that state if you are just a registered agent, but it's important for you to get clarification, right? This is not just like now I can do whatever I want. There are still rules, there are still scopes, there may be renewals. So again, this may make sense where like there's demand already, right? You have clients that are moving to this other state, or maybe let's say you work in Pennsylvania, but you are like right across from Wilmington, Delaware, and you know that like part of your ideal population is in that area and it's so close across the border, it may make sense for you to get that telehealth certification. So again, like this doesn't have to be, you know, I'm now doing this as another strategy to get people in that state to come see me, but how do I work with the population that I already have connections with, that there's already a demand for? So if you are still considering adding an additional license, there are four things that are really important for you to consider. The first is making sure that you understand the legal and ethical responsibilities of that specific state. With each state that you add, there's an additional layer of responsibility because each state has different laws, ethics, boards, responsibilities that you are responsible for. So some states require additional information in their consent forms. Like Colorado has something that needs to be in the form about like how long you maintain your records, your notes, how you keep documentation. You may find that some states have different reporting laws or their privacy laws are different. There are different CEU structures. One state may require that you have them all in person. Some may say, well, you can do asynchronous. Some may say you have to submit them every year. Some may say you have to have like a professional, you know, education plan. It's your responsibility to know it all, not just for the state where like you have your original license from, but now you have to understand, what am I responsible for? What is expected of me from each of these states? And then for you to maintain what is needed to complete those hours or to provide that documentation or to renew that specific license. The second thing that you really should consider is the market and demand and saturation of where you are looking to get licensed in. So who is already there? Who is already serving your niche? It's also important to consider like the cultural or kind of like community fit. So if you have never lived in a place, but it is a place that is unique, has its own set of culture or its own culture or kind of its own set of norms, how are you going to be received there? So for example, in Hawaii has its own culture. It has its own language. I mean, literally it has its own language, but its own way of, you know, shorthand called pigeons, you know, are you going to be able to work in that community and be received in that community? If you have never lived there, if you are not from there, if you have no ties to there, but you're like, I want to get licensed there. If you are looking to get licensed, say in Louisiana, like, do you understand the culture of that place? Do you understand what it's like to live in an area that is hurricane prone, right? So again, it doesn't mean that you couldn't still potentially be a really effective therapist there, but it is an important piece to consider that there are cultural and community aspects of this that may make it easier or more challenging to, you know, be accepted and to get seen and have visibility as a provider in that area. So to maybe ask yourself, like, if I'm looking to get licensed in this state because I specifically want to work in this area, why would somebody in that state choose me who has never lived there or does not live there versus somebody who does, right? I don't live in Hawaii anymore, but I do still hold my license there. And I oftentimes will get military spouses who have recently relocated there reaching out to me because they know that I am a military spouse and I have lived there and I understand the unique experience that it is moving to this island in the middle of nowhere and feeling completely isolated and completely out of your element, right? So I no longer live there, but I can relate to their experience. The third thing to really consider is the financial reality of adding an additional license, right? There's a lot of costs that can come to this. There's the initial application. You know, do you have to get fingerprints or background checks? Do you have to apply to get, you know, records from places or to your other boards to like pay them to complete applications? And then you have your renewal fees, right? Some boards are every 3 years, every 2 years, every year. Are there additional exams that you may have to take if you're getting licensed someplace else? What are the costs of CEUs, right? One of the ways that I kind of made the decision with adding the additional license of Colorado was I asked myself, how many sessions does it take for this license to pay itself? And within one session, the license that I was going to get from Colorado would be completely covered. And I only have that fee every 2 years. So it did make sense for me knowing that my clients were frequently moving there and that the cost of obtaining the license and maintaining it was minimal. But again, earlier in my practice, it made sense to add licenses as my, you know, again, my clients were moving there. The other licenses I didn't have to do or I had to do simply because I was moving there. But again, this is not something that I am just automatically looking to do when I have a client moving somewhere else. I'm much more selective because of the costs and because of what it takes to maintain those. So that's a question to kind of ask yourself is, how much more will I have to make to cover this license and to maintain it? And then the fourth thing to really consider is like the administrative capacity. There is invisible work that comes with maintaining a license, right? The applications, the follow-ups, the tracking of multiple renewal cycles. I've had to put on my calendar like standing renewal dates for each of my licenses because I can't remember them. The more licenses you add, the more administrative work there is. So it is okay to say like, I don't want to do more work, right? It is okay to say I'm not going to add an additional license because that means more work for me. So if you are in this place of like, should I do this or should I not? I think you should kind of ask yourself some of these questions. Why am I considering the possibility of adding an additional license right now? What is the problem that I think by adding this license it's going to solve? Is this about fear? Is it about comparison or is it about pressure? And what would actually help my practice to grow? So maybe like making like a pros and cons list of adding versus not, talking with somebody who is neutral or who has gone through the experience of adding additional licenses, talking with boards of the places that you're looking to get licensed in, or even with colleagues that already are licensed there of like, hey, what are you seeing? I'm thinking of adding this additional license. Do you think this niche that I work in is something that is needed in that area? But really doing some self-reflection, because if this is simply, well, I'm going to add this additional license because this is what's going to finally fill my practice, I don't want you to do it. Because we need to look at what are the things are we are doing in our own community to actually help your practice grow and actually bring in the referrals before we say, let me go add this additional place simply because I think that's what's going to get me more clients. Adding an additional license is not a good or a bad thing, but it is not a growth strategy. So if you've been like going back and forth about this and you're like, I don't know, like it is okay to stop the process, to take a breath and regroup and say, what can I do differently where I currently am licensed, where I currently reside, to make sure that I have consistent referrals and that my practice is getting full in the communities right here that I am trying to serve before trying to expand somewhere else. I encourage you to use the questions that I posed to like check in with yourself. And if you're needing support kind of thinking through this, I love talking about this with people. You can always book a coaching and clarity strategy session with me. And we can talk through more of like what would help you to consider whether you should add it or not. And how do we expand more in the areas that you're already trying to work in? I want to thank you so much for being with me here today. And I will see you back here next week. Thanks for listening to the Therapist Mom Podcast. If today's episode resonated with you, I'd love for you to share it with another therapist mom who needs it. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And if you'd leave a 5-star review, it helps more therapist moms find this space. For resources and ways to work with me, head to raisetoempower.com and check the show notes for all links mentioned today. I'll see you back here next week. This episode is brought to you by Jane, a practice management software built to support you and your clients. Switching EHRs isn't something you do on a whim, and to confidently make the switch, you need to feel assured that your data will get imported securely and efficiently. A smooth import makes all the difference, which is why Jane's experienced imports team handles yours with care and at no additional cost. If you do make the decision to switch, they will be there to help every step of the way. I was truly so impressed with the level of support, attention to detail, and customer service Jane's team gave me throughout the process of transitioning my practice to their system. To learn more and explore if Jane might be a fit for you, use the link in the show notes to book a free demo with one of their incredible team members. And when you're ready to get started, use code ASHLEY1MO for 1 month grace period on your new account.